4 weeks ago, we had a wedding in the family. I don't know whether we can get a photo up, Donald. Now, you might think, what's that got to do with what we're talking about, gathering together, and what the importance of it? Well, I'll just read a verse in Ephesians, chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. It's extraordinary, isn't it, that Jesus is talking about the church, and the church is viewed as one thing, the bride of Christ. And that's an amazing thing to think about. When we come together, we form a body, an entity. We are individuals, of course. We're saved individually. But when we come together, it's something very important, very precious. And he regards us as his bride. Anyway, that was a great time, and we just thank God for that. And we pray for their blessing on them. But we want to think this morning about gathering is the theme that we're following through. And that's gathering together. And let's try and think about what the church, what the gathering of people means to Jesus, to Christ himself. It's not only what we get out of it, but there's something for Christ that's very precious in what we call the church. The church, of course, is not just a building; it's the people, isn't it? It's all about people and people coming together. You know, people talk about, well, birds flock together and people just gather together who've got similar interests. But it's much, much more than that, isn't it? As believers, we come together in the name of Christ. And we come together expressing our love for one another. It's very important that we do. And that we need to stress the fact, I think, that it's what is called the ecclesia, the church, means a gathering of people. That's what it means. It means it's an assembly, if you like, of people who come together. And it's something very, very precious to Christ. And I remember when we were discussing a constitution for the church a good many years ago now, and some will remember this, and we had to do it because of the Charity Commission. We needed a constitution. They needed, what's this church all about, basically? What's they stand for? And we sort of looked at loads of different documents from other churches to see what we could put together and form something. And then we sort of thought, well, what are we here for? And it came to me anyway, it really made me think, and you see, well, this is a building. This building is a place of worship, first and foremost. And we come together to worship God. That's the first thing. And it's so important that we come together. It is a gathering, but it's a gathering of people together worshipping God. And it's when we come together that Jesus comes in. He comes to us, doesn't he? And we've got lots of verses that speak about that. In Acts 20, they came together on that evening. The disciples were gathered together in a room, in an upper room. And Jesus appeared in the midst, didn't he? Well, the doors were locked because they were afraid of the Jews. But Jesus came in and he was stood there amongst them. And that's an astonishing thing. That was the first day of the week. Well, it was Easter Day. It's the same day that Christ was risen on that morning. And he comes together when his people gather. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, that's two or three. Now, it might numbers in a way don't mean anything, but you know, it's great when there's a large group of people. But even two or three, it's Jesus' presence is the thing, isn't it? And St. Anthony rang me Thursday, I think it was, and he was driving back from London. He'd been up to London. So anyway, the previous weekend they'd been to this big church event in Sussex. I don't know if you had heard about that, but he said there were 35,000 young Christians there, all praising God. Can you imagine? People say, well, the church is dying out, but the church is not dying out. Christ is building his church despite all the attacks. The gates of Hades won't prevail against it. And it could be wonderful that there's so many young people gathering. He said there were 300 from the Gas Street Church in Birmingham. 300 from one church who'd gone to this great big event, and they're all young people. And it's encouraging, isn't it, for us? But that's when Jesus comes in, on the first day of the week, and we get lots of references to the first day of the week. And that seems to be a time when people come together. And it's tradition, but it wasn't mentioned until that resurrection day. It says in Acts 20 that they came together on the first day of the week. And it's a great thing to come together like we have today, first day of the week, and remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread, what we call the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a wonderful thing. It doesn't have to be just on a Sunday morning. Have we got the second photo, Donald, please? Well, Margaret and I were invited to join a group of Christians from Herefordshire and to go to Israel. Well, we were a bit dubious about it, to be honest, to begin with, but we decided we'd go, and it would be great. And it was the most life-changing experience, really, for us, because it was so beautiful. And this is just one of the things. I won't start on, that's another subject, but Andrew was the leader of this group. He was a minister from right in the wilds of Herefordshire somewhere. And he said, well, we'd been up to the Mount of Beatitude, what they call the Mount of the Beatitudes, and there's a lovely grassy slope down to the Lake Galilee. This is on the shore of the Lake of Galilee. And if you can see that, can you see the lake behind him? It was really a very moving time. We all gathered together, and we were singing, and we were and taking part in the communion together. And right on the spot where Jesus would have been talking to his disciples, or very close, we don't know exactly where it was, but this is on the shores of Lake Galilee. And it's really sort of affected us, because it really was a reminder of what it means to break bread and remember Jesus in the breaking of bread. And that was a lovely thing. So thank you, Donald. When Apostle Paul came to Troas, he went to Troas, we read that in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. I don't know if I've got that here, I think I have. Acts 20, verse 7. I have to get specs on for this. Have we got it on the screen? I'm not quite sure. Acts 20, verse 7. That's even better, because we can all read it together if we can. Thank you. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. That's another evidence of coming together to break bread. And Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he was on his way to Jerusalem, remember, and they were all having to say goodbye to him. And he kept on talking until midnight. Well, I don't think we'll do that today, but unless you want to. But the ended, of course, with somebody falling out of the window, it was all ended happily, but that was a great thing. But what I was thinking about was, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And that's a sort of indication to us, I think, that we do. I mean, we were brought up in a church where, and I think many were, where we broke bread every Sunday morning. First thing you did, it was an important thing. And it's nice to think of it as something that we really enjoy together, and there's much for the Lord in it, I believe. And it was often in the context of a meal back then, and we have two sacraments in the church. One of the things that we keep as a church, and all churches do, is that there's baptism and there's the Lord's Supper. And they're both very important, but the baptism happens once, really, but the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, regularly, on the first day of the week especially, but at any time. And it's been lovely to experience that, and I believe there's something for the Lord, that we remember him often, as we have today, and we remember his life given for us completely. And then there's singing. Christians have always been known for their singing. I don't think there's any other religions that do that like Christians do. And it's a wonderful thing that we can sing together. Well, some of us can't sing very well, maybe. And my father was, he'd start a tune and he was all right for the first few notes. And then it all went haywire. But nevertheless, everybody else got going, and he sort of carried along, and he really enjoyed it. But he really wasn't a singer. But it doesn't matter. It's an enjoyable thing that we can do together. And music, actually, we want good quality music, and we're very thankful we do have good quality music. And it's great, and we enjoy that, and it's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of singing praises to God and to Jesus, our Saviour. It's got to be important, hasn't it? That's what we're here for. We're here to worship, to praise. And then there's prayer. We can come together to pray. Now, mostly on Tuesdays, we're doing that online, but we're still coming together in a certain sense. It's not the same, is it? But it's great that we can join together without burning a lot of fuel travelling or whatever. We can come together in the spirit, and we can praise and pray together. It's a great privilege to be able to pray together with other people, and we mustn't miss out on it. And we make our requests known to God together. And there's another thing we do, and we need to do, and that is to listen. We listen together to God's word. This is what every Sunday we do. We have a message from God's word, and we are very anxious. We need to know what God is saying to each of us, and to all of us, indeed, as a unit. And then there's witness. We come together as a witness to everybody around. And as Tom was stressing last week, we do need to be a welcoming church, and I think we are. But we must not let that slip. I think it's so important that we welcome everybody. Anyone that comes in, we give them a welcome. And it's very important that we do that. You don't miss it. How we appear to others. And it's rooted in our attitude to one another. Because The basis of good marriage is one word, love, isn't it? And the same applies in the church, I think. We have to be seen to love one another. And that doesn't mean to say we're all huggy and soppy, but it means that we really do genuinely care for one another, and we love one another, and we love other people all around. That's part of our job as a church together, is to love, express love. John constantly emphasizes that, doesn't he? The Apostle John. And he was very close to Jesus himself, wasn't he? He was an example of it. But he keeps on saying, love one another. And he's the one who writes that Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Well, you couldn't have a much higher standard than that, could you? Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. And it's so important that we love, really love one another, not just superficial. And we must never allow the slightest whiff of disunity or disagreement. Now, we may not necessarily agree on certain details that are of lesser importance, but we meet that in an attitude of love and learning together, and we're listening to God. I think Twining Chapel has, for a long time, had that reputation of being welcoming and a place where there is an atmosphere of love. And it's so, so important. So we do not want to let that slip. And if we are a happy, welcoming, loving community, that is very attractive to other people. And if we're witness to people, we want everybody to understand that is the case. But they can soon see it. They can tell if there's disagreement or if there's, bad feeling somewhere. It must not be allowed. And we are a witness, really, to the grace of God. That's what it is. Now, gathering together, the pandemic, which is 3 years ago now, really, isn't it? That was a sharp reminder to us, because we couldn't meet for a while at all, could we? And then we started meeting and we had to wear masks and we couldn't sing. Well, that wasn't much fun either. It's nice to be together, but we couldn't sing. And I don't propose to a very long session this morning. I hope that's all right with you. But perhaps we could, in closing, look at our last picture, Donald. And this reminds us of a time when we were able to meet outside in the garden. And that it was really quite refreshing, wasn't it, that we can actually meet, we could sing, we had no restrictions really at all at that time. And it's only a few of us, but it was a lovely time. And we had the communion and all sorts, and it emphasises, and that is the emphasis this morning, of the importance of coming together, of gathering and forming a unity, which is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. So I hope that we can get something from that, and Active Steps, the book we've got here, it talks about active steps and There's a comment in there which I thought was worth just closing, remembering as we close. You need your church, and your church needs you. So I think we'll leave it at that, or we'll just have a prayer together, shall we? Our Father, we thank you for your wonderful ways of grace. We thank you that you have loved us.
You have loved us so much that you gave your Son. And we pray, O God, that you will help us to be faithful to him. And as we gather together and come together, may we appreciate and realize and experience more of your love and experience what it is to really give you the glory, the honor, the praise, the thanksgiving that is due. We pray that you will help us in our expressions of that as we sing together, as we pray together, as we worship together. We thank you for that privilege and ask that you will bless. We pray that you will bless people in the village all around us too, that they might not be afraid to come and join and enjoy something of what we enjoy, but more than that, that they might find salvation in the Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the value of that, and we pray that you will bless the work that goes on in distributing that work to people all around us, especially this year in the Cotswold area, where there's going to be an extra push effort on that score. And we pray, O God, that you will bless your word, and bless your word to us this morning, we pray, and bless the day to us all. Bless our loved ones and care for them. We remember those who are suffering, those who are in pain and recovering from operations and all kinds of difficulties and physical strains. But these are the times when we can support one another and we pray for one another. And we ask your blessing on our gathering and your blessing on the day for us all. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.
Shall we stand? Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon them. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon them. Well, it's a bit extra that I haven't played. You want your money's worth? Do you want another go, dear? Shall we? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon them. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon them. And together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.